can't repeat right now. And so what's amazing to me is the perception that he ignored me. The worst thing that could have happened was for him to reply based on what I told him. So for people to say, hey, you know what, he's not listening to his coach, and there's no discipline on this team, you know, they're not around this football team, they're not around this program.
Welcome back in the zone, live from Arkansas Men's Clinic, 5800 West 10th Street, Suite 402, Justin Akery. And the man you hear singing in the background there is the man that I hear talking to me right now. It's Matt Still.
That's me.
Except you're in the wrong hits. Now
that's
I do.
Me. That's him singing?
Yes, it is.
Really?
He's very talented, this guy.
I just think.
Razorback football back at War Memorial Stadium. That was Kevin Sumlin, by the way. He's on my GD list, too. He's a good dude. Kevin Sumlin seems like a good dude. And you'd have to be to put up with that stuff with Johnny Manziel. But I like that he said, look, I ain't looking for a response. I said, you're going to bleepity bleep bleep, and you better stop bleepity bleep bleeping. Now get on the sideline, son.
Sit down and hush.
That's what Daddy says.
Quit signing fake autographs to Rice players and sit down and hush.
Tickets still remain for the Hogs' first visit to Little Rock this season. Sanford's coming in to get their faces kicked in at 6 o'clock this Saturday. Hey, new tradition. Let's call those Hogs. I don't know about throwing the A. I need to get your thoughts on that. Also going to recognize the men and women who have served this country. Military Appreciation Day this Saturday. If you're looking for an additional reason to get your behind over there this weekend, a special halftime presentation. All starts at 3 o'clock with pregame activities and, of course, the Buzz tailgate at 11, so get there even earlier. And they also have the opening of the AT&T Fan Zone, followed by the traditional Hog Walk at 3:45. Get your tickets, 1-800-982-HOGS, or ArkansasRazorbacks.com, hashtag never yield.
Get those fresh tickets.
Let's go to that Revolution Hotline, talk to the most patient man in all of radio, Barrett Salee. Hello, Barrett.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Oh, good. Recovered from 5 days of college football, which means no 5 days of no sleep for me, but it was a good 5 days.
Did you sit in the Bleacher Report studios and monitor all games, or did you actually travel to see some football in person?
Well, I traveled 10 minutes down the road to Alabama Virginia Tech.
That's exhausting.
But for the rest of the ongoing games, I was in my office where I have quite the setup, so I can do video, so I can write, so I can watch 5 different games at one time. So it's a pretty good setup.
So, what other than the fact that Johnny Football doesn't seem to have lost much, including running his mouth, what stood out to you over the weekend?
Well, Johnny Manziel's fake controversy stood out to me most. I couldn't believe. It's one of those things where all this stuff happens. You know, your jaw my jaw hits the floor when people freak out over this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I'm really not surprised because you know people want to freak out over stuff. And
right. Look.
The whole Johnny Manziel thing, that's the most ridiculous fake controversy ever. He flashed the money sign all the time last year. Signing a fake autograph to a Rice player is hilarious, especially because the guy was doing it to him first.
Right.
And then going scoreboard on a trash-talking defender who's down 3 scores in the fourth quarter isn't a sign of an attitude problem. It's a public service. No one should talk trash down 3 scores in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Kevin Sumlin was right. What did you want Johnny Manziel to do? To talk back to his coach? Of course not. He's not going to do that. I think he handled it the right way. And I think the whole Johnny Manziel's out of control narrative after the Rice game, I thought it was more of a knee-jerk reaction to people who already thought that going in, and that's
right.
A shame.
Why don't you just marry him already, Barrett? No,
honestly, you know, for me, I hope he keeps signing fake autographs. I hope he keeps going scoreboard on people because I like writing about that stuff.
I go back and forth on the whole deal, but the bottom line is I thought last weekend was spectacular. The only thing I didn't like at the end was when he kept jawing, because here's my thing. That slappy backup defensive lineman for Rice is not worthy of you arguing with, because guess what? You're going to the league and he ain't. So there's not much point in that in drawing a 15-yard penalty. It didn't matter this week. I just hope there doesn't come a time this year when it does matter, because that's when it becomes a real negative if you truly negatively impact your team, which I don't think he did this week.
No, I don't think he did either. And honestly, I'm not trying to stick up for Johnny Manziel. Honestly, if it was a meaningful part of the game, I don't think he'd have done that. Because I think part of the reason he went scoreboard on him was because he thought, dude, you're a backup on Rice and you're down 3 scores.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You shouldn't be talking.
You shouldn't be talking at that point.
No, that's right. I agree. I like that. Yeah. No, look. Turnabout is fair play. It's the oldest rule in the book, so I think that's totally fine.
And he did try to walk away, too. I mean, he did walk away, and then the guy kept talking, and he was like, all right, enough of this. And he put an end to it. Yeah. And he's the bad guy all of a sudden, which is just silly.
I agree. Well, we can't pick on the Rice guy because we don't even know his name. He's just Rice guy. So that's the whole
point. Yeah, but I don't like him.
Yeah, I understand. I do too. Yeah, you know what? In fact, I'm not eating rice for the rest of the year because of it. So there you go. I hope you're happy. Now you just ruined the whole industry, and that's huge for Arkansas. Thanks a lot.
I know. It all goes back to me being out to get Arkansas. Narratives from 2010.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, we just got done talking to John L. Smith, which was very interesting. He's now
he
at.
He was out to get Arkansas.
What's that?
He was out to get Arkansas.
Well, it wasn't intentional. He did the best he could in a tough situation. But you know what? It's funny because he's sort of like that lovable dude. He's like that crazy uncle that he's just kind of a lovable guy. I mean, the thing is, I like the fact that he owns it. You know, he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't spend a whole lot of time regretting stuff. I mean, I do like the fact that the man's in a good place mentally. He's in a, you know, a school that most people are not going to pay much attention to now in Colorado. But anyway, that's a whole other story for a whole other day. Let's talk about the current head coach because that's what people around here are interested in. A, we don't know why he wore a windbreaker the entire game on a 100-degree Saturday, but we were thrilled with the outcome in all three phases of the game. Arkansas seems to be one of the most improved teams in the early going.
Yeah, they certainly had the most impressive debut of the four new head coaches, without a doubt. Yeah, you know, the windbreaker thing, that, you know, honestly, watching that game, I wondered the same thing. Like, what is that guy doing? But no, it, you know, Arkansas looked really good. Arkansas looked like a team that that Brent Bielema wants Arkansas to be. You know, a ground and pound, just physical downhill rushing attack with a quarterback who's efficient, can stretch the field over the top, and doesn't make mistakes. And that's exactly what Arkansas did. So it was a really, really impressive performance. I think defensively there are still some questions because I'm not necessarily buying that defense yet, although they played really, really good on Saturday. I need to see more consistency out of that because, you know, Arkansas for years has just, you know, sort of beaten into the ground the defense struggle. So we'll see if they can be consistent. But it was a fantastic debut. I think it wasn't just the fact that they took care of business. It was the way they took care of business. It was basically going out and doing exactly what Arkansas should always do to lesser opponents in game one. That's a really good sign for that program.
There is no doubt. The whole philosophy is to see if your opponent can digest teeth as you knock them down their throat. Arkansas comes out, 200-yard rushers. Bam! How you like them apples? So they're pretty happy, I think. You know, and this time of year, we see games like what Auburn had this weekend, and there's two schools of thought. There are the non-Auburn fans who say, man, they're not very good yet. And then there are the Auburn fans who say, oh, we just didn't want to show much, man. We were just playing it kind of close to the vest. So what'd you take away from Gus Malzahn's debut?
My takeaway was kind of in the middle because, you know, they didn't show an awful lot. There are some really bright spots, the three picks by the defense and the fact that, you know, they were gassed in the first half and made adjustments and successfully implemented those adjustments in the second half. That's not what Auburn did last year. So that's a huge step in the right direction, I think, for that team. Offensively, you know, they show what they were able to do. They know that they can run the ball with all those running backs, and that's the foundation of Gus Malzahn's offense anyway. But was really disappointed in Nick Marshall, and most of the reason why is because somebody needs to teach that guy to throw a changeup. I mean, everything that guy throws is coming at 100 miles an hour. And I mean, you saw in the first drive, he threw the ball 70 yards with like a flick of the wrist, but it was like 10 yards past his wide receiver. The guy's got a cannon. I've never seen an arm that big, but he doesn't know how to tone it down, and that led to a bunch of drops. So, you know, I think you have to hope that when he does tone it down, and he will tone it down at some point, he doesn't lose some of his accuracy. And if he does, then Auburn could be in trouble. So I'm sort of in the middle because they looked good. I think they showed potential, but they also showed that I think they're going to be inconsistent. And if some of Nick Marshall's mistakes or the defense has some lapses at bad times, then it could cost them some games.
Barrett Slee joining us, BleacherReport.com on the Revolution Hotline. I'm sure you've heard the clip by now. It's making the rounds. A Georgia fan calling in after the loss to Clemson, crying. It was pretty good. I didn't think it was quite as good as everybody made it out to be. But bottom line is there are some concerned fans over there. I say, well, you went on the road against a really good team, and you were an underdog, and you barely lost. My takeaway is, other than the fact that you lost a receiver in the stupidest way since Grammatica, you know, it was a pretty good outing, and I still think Georgia's going to be what I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be what I thought they would be because I picked them to win the national championship. But you know, defensively, I thought they'd be better. Their tackling was awful. I mean, that long touchdown by Sammy Watkins, that should not have been a touchdown. Damian Swan had to tackle him with one shoulder, and you can't have that. But the one question and the one issue I think heading in right now is the offensive line because Clemson was able to pressure Aaron Murray. That's a veteran, you know, Georgia offensive line that should not have just blown middle breakdowns like they did against a Clemson defensive line that quite honestly is not very good. That's concerning, and especially with South Carolina coming in, because last I checked, they do have some fellow named Clowney on that defensive line. So, you know, there are some issues. I don't think it's anything to hang their head, you know, heads over, because, you know, losing to a top 10, top 5 Clemson team on the road is nothing to be ashamed of. But for Georgia, you know, I think it does essentially more or less eliminate them from the national championship hunt. And to have that happen in week one in a year where you have a senior quarterback and tons of veterans on offense and two of the best running backs in the SEC and all that stuff, that's got to be disappointing. And so I think that's probably what led to that guy calling that radio station, that and probably some bourbon.
Yeah, well, that's true, exactly. That being said, do you expect them to beat South Carolina this week? Because I do.
I do, too. I think they get that offensive line fixed. I think, you know, they benefit greatly from being at home. And, you know, South Carolina is – they play ugly, really ugly football. They like to mix it around between the running backs and get those carries in. Connor Shaw has been awesome at home. He's been okay on the road. He has not been great. I just think that leads for Georgia to have a big win. I think they want to control it from the outset. They get going downhill with those running backs and then just don't let up. And, you know, for Georgia, I think the one thing you want to do with Clowney, whether he had a stomach bug or he was out of shape, I think it was clear that not only Clowney, but the rest of that South Carolina defense, they really, really struggled with the hurry up. And, you know, if you're Georgia, you come right at them playing hurry up and see if they can handle it. And then take your shots in the second and fourth quarters when those guys are a little bit winded. So I think Georgia wins too. I think to make it ugly, to make it, they win the war in the trenches and they do get that win. But, you know, again, that offensive line is going to have to play better because they can't play like they did against Clemson and beat South Carolina.
The only other coach with SEC ties who might have been as impressive or even more maybe than Brett Bielema would be Bobby Petrino, the old head coach at Arkansas, knocking off Kentucky at Western Kentucky. Western now playing Tennessee, and this would be an even bigger accomplishment if they were able to pull off a victory. You give them any chance this week?
They have a chance because, you know, that running back they have is pretty good, and they've got a decent defense with Franklin. So, yeah, you know, I think it's there's a chance. Tennessee, I don't know what you learned last week over Austin Peay other than, you know, they didn't have any defensive breakdowns, which for Tennessee is a pretty big step in the right direction because last year they did. You know, it's, Rajon Neal is a better running back than people give him credit for. You know, I think Justin Worley, I think, was unnecessarily written off a little bit because of being put in some bad situations early in his career. I think they'll be okay. I think they're significantly better than Kentucky and significantly better than Western Kentucky, and probably should be able to beat Western Kentucky this week. But if that defense, you know, suffers from a couple of breakdowns, it could cost them the game. Tennessee, not totally buying that D yet, but we'll see.
All right. Great stuff as always. Barrett, appreciate it, man. It's finally here, and I can hear the excitement in your voice. We've got a whole other slate of games to talk about here soon. So thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. You bet. Barrett's Elite BleacherReport.com. Take a time out. We'll come back and wrap things up with Greg and Matty Stell. We're at Arkansas Men's Clinic right here in The Rock. And if you need help with it's not, PE is not like sort of household phrase, but I think we should go with that because ED is.
ED and PE is just going too quick.
Yeah.
You know?
It's another way to say
so
it.
So one time, you don't want to win the race.
If you got a problem with PE or ED,
that's right,
or STD now, get you
can fix a lot of letters in here.
My friend, I'm telling you right now, you guys are cleaning up the whole alphabet.
Cleaning up more letters than Vanna White.
Hyphenate.
Now, when we come back, we're going to close it out by talking about throwing the A. See what you think about that. And Steve wants to ask a question. We've got to take one last time out here. We'll come back at the Arkansas Men's Clinic. And I do want to tell you, if you're having a problem with your feet, I know where to go as well. I'll fix that here, although we are trying to come up with a formula that makes